Hey guys, this is Shauna Lay from Living the Hawaiian Way. So today I am going to talk about what kind of it takes in order to break into the luxury real estate realm. And oftentimes when I'm out and I tell people what it is that I do, everybody gets so enamored by, oh, you know, the luxury and you must see amazing homes and how is the market doing, and I'm hit with an inundation of questions. And I think that a lot of people will see only what they see on the outside, whether it's because of Netflix selling Sunset, or they see these insane apartments for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 million plus, and they just ask themselves, how do you get into that realm? And if that is the right realm for me, how can I do that? And the reality behind it is that if you were to talk about New York City real estate specifically, it is not as easy as everybody thinks that it is. First off, there's over 60,000 brokers in New York City, so the competition is very high. Everybody knows a broker of a broker of a broker. Everybody has a person. And given that there are townhouses, co-ops, condos, penthouses, new developments, resales, there's so many different segments into New York City real estate that really takes you knowing not only the market from a macro level, but knowing the submarkets. Submarkets meaning you're looking at neighborhoods. You're looking at the Upper West Side compared to downtown. What's the differences? And being a really good real estate broker entails knowing all of that, in addition to also knowing and understanding the luxury market without, you know, even going into the negotiation and the marketing, whether you're representing a seller, you're representing a buyer. And I think that a lot of people just see it on the outside and they think that, oh, well, whether they must know somebody, and if they do know somebody, then that person must have just given them the listing. And the reality is even that if somebody gives you a referral, it doesn't mean that they're not also talking to other agents or interviewing other agents. So you really need to be able to know the industry and understand the market inside out, plus be able to recommend a pricing strategy, a marketing strategy, and convince a seller why you should be hired, even though you may have received that listing as a referral. And I always tell my agents that the difference between you selling a $300,000 co-op and a $13 million co-op is the fact that the client within a $13 million realm is going to expect you to be an absolute expert, have all the answers, and be able to solve their problems and essentially be really good at what you do. The margin of error and not knowing is super, super slim, and it's truly not, it's not really acceptable for that client that you cannot produce results. I mean, that's the reason why they hired you to begin with. And the level of pressure that any broker is under in order to produce results at a particular price point in the luxury realm is very high. So yes, it is important to have connections, but just because you have connections, if you don't have the knowledge that goes along with that, that opportunity is going to slip right through your hands. And so people always ask me, all right, so if I need the knowledge, then how do I get that? A lot of the times I always recommend that people work on teams. And if you're on a team and you do go in and you have a pitch, it's much easier when you have a senior broker or the head broker coming in with you that has all of the knowledge and the experience, because there's no way that you can't jump, leap this experience factor. The reason why I say that is because in New York City, there's just so much information that you need to know, between being very familiar with certain buildings, price points, overall trends. And if you were to try and squeeze that into a year, that is just, it's not possible. It's not possible because no matter how many years you've been in the business, I've been in the business for 12, going on 13 years, and there is always something new that kind of pops up where you're trying to figure out, this deal is falling apart. How do I prevent this deal from falling apart? The financing didn't go through for this deal. There is a pending litigation that we're somehow unaware about. There is some sort of a DOB, Department of Buildings, filing issues, or there's just so many things that can come up and scenarios that can come up, that the only way you know how to solve those things is either by being a part of the deal or by having the experience of experiencing that before, and then knowing how to overcome that so that you can always try to position yourself and your client so that we are constantly 3 to 5 steps ahead. And that's kind of part of what makes a really good broker. Now, yes, it's important to have a network, because without having a network of extremely high net worth people, well, it's very difficult to end up getting clients. And whether that comes from a direct mailing or marketing to buildings, or a warm introduction from a friend or a friend of a friend, or maybe a part of some of the clubs that you're in, that is really, really important in your career. But just because you may have a very strong foundation also doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to be given that business. I think that in New York City, a warm introduction is always very helpful, but we have very independent thinkers in New York City, and they want to know that whoever it is that they're going with is going to be the best choice. So they do their due diligence very good. And so, you know, obviously being on your game and knowing your facts and being on top of your business, that's another thing. It's the type of service that you provide. How quickly do you answer? How much are you available? You really, really need to focus on how you service your clients. And the best way that I can think about it is, if you were to go to the Four Seasons, right? And you were to compare that to the Holiday Inn, for instance. Nothing is wrong. They're both two different hotels servicing two different types of people who stay there. And the service level that you would expect in a Four Seasons is going to be significantly higher than what you would get at a Holiday Inn. And a lot of people may not think about service in the ways that you would think about hospitality. I think that many people who become agents think that, well, I did my job and I responded quickly and I sent a gift and I did X, Y, and Z, and in my eyes, that is great service. And then sometimes they may talk to their client and get a little bit of feedback or hear feedback down the line, and then realize that their client felt they didn't do a good job at all because their client had certain expectations, or they may have, you know, said certain expectations and then those expectations weren't necessarily met. And this is part of what makes luxury a little bit tricky, because how you service somebody, the type of level of service that you give somebody that is within the $500,000 and below level, is going to be completely different to how you treat a client within the luxury realm. Because again, people that are of the luxury realm who have these at minimum $4 or $5 million plus homes, they have a certain way that they like to live their life. They have a certain service level that they expect. And that's a part of every aspect of their life. Now, is that every single client in every single of these luxury price points? No, it's not every single client, but just generally speaking, is that really important to a billionaire, for instance? 100% it is. And there are certain things that are acceptable and there are certain things that are not acceptable, as opposed to in the $500,000 price point, that would be significantly more acceptable and they're a little bit more lenient and laissez-faire and they're like, okay, no problem. You didn't answer my call, or no problem. You took a day to get back to me. That is not okay within the luxury realm. And so when I talk about experience, this is exactly what it is that I mean. These are things that you need to figure out, or your friend or whoever it is that wants to get into luxury real estate, you need to figure out all of these little fine details, because when you do go into the luxury realm, they do have very high expectations for every aspect of the business. And if you are still learning the market, you're learning what are the differences between the co-ops and the condos, and what is the differences between, you know, the Midtown compared to downtown, compared to the Upper East Side and the penthouses, and you don't even know what buildings are the most popular buildings, or the newest buildings, or the shiniest buildings, or what are some of the highest end buildings down in Tribeca, what price points do they trade at, how much is a two bedroom in that particular building. This is the reason why I say you cannot jump experience. And it is the best route for you to go by being on a team and trying to learn as much as possible. Now, the kicker with being on a team is that usually they want people with a high producing team. Usually they want people who are already bringing in business and are already closing in deals, because they don't necessarily want to train you. So you may think to yourself, well, how do I get on a team without having any experience? And the answer to that is going for a smaller team, maybe within a smaller company who has a little bit more time to train you. And although you may be doing mundane tasks to begin with, maybe you're just running around doing some showings and whatnot, maybe you're just sending out some comp reports, and maybe you haven't quite yet hit where you need to be in order to do luxury real estate, just understand that every single step of the way will help you, and they are tools that you need in order to be prepared for when you are in the luxury realm. Because just think about luxury as the major leagues. Until you know how to throw a ball and be really good at it and can be accountable for the results that you produce, you are not ready yet. And that's the reason why I say everything takes time. And although you may have opportunities that come your way, that is the reason why you need to go in and be on a team, so that you can go into those pitches with senior brokers who are significantly more experienced and have the track record that you need in order to win that business. So as you can see, New York City real estate, New York City luxury real estate, for instance, is complicated, and that is the reason why a lot of the top brokers have been in the industry for 10 plus years, because it does take some time before you get there. But understand that just because it may take some time before you get there doesn't mean that you should be disappointed by not hitting your goals quick enough. You should just be focused on learning as much as you can about the market, about the different neighborhoods, about the various buildings you need to know about why one neighborhood may transact a lot higher than another neighborhood, and even learning about the rent market. Because if you were to have an investor client that is also looking for a luxury property, you need to understand how this, whether it's a penthouse or a townhouse, is gonna be able to rent out in terms of pricing. So there's a lot of information that you really need to know. And as a new broker, you can't think that you're gonna do an internship and think that you're gonna have all the answers, because you're not. You have to be in the business for at least a year to 2 years They say that anybody that has been in the business for at least 2 years or more, that is most likely going to be your career. Your career is going to be real estate. But most of the time, people get out at around the year to 2 years. So it's a very transient business because of the fact that the learning curve is so high that it does take you quite some time in order to learn and gain traction and be able to talk to people confidently about what's happening in the market, because you've done X amount of transactions, because you know exactly this particular neighborhood, and there is just so much again to learn. So although this may not be the roadmap to luxury real estate, it truly is. Because you need to learn, you need to make sure that you put in the time, you put in the effort, you always see how you can make your business better. And even for everyone that has been in the business for 10 plus years, we're all still looking at how we can make our business better, just as any other company will evaluate and send out surveys and see how they can change their products or how they can make their businesses better as well. So my biggest takeaway for this is really embrace a learning mentality. Figure out what smaller team you want to be on. Take an internship if you can, but do understand that even in your internship, there are certain things that licensed and unlicensed people can and cannot do. And if you do take an internship and you don't have a license yet, there are many things that you cannot do, and you're not going to get that experience that you need unless you were to have your license. Then a broker is able to put you out into the field, allow you to talk to clients, and allow you to go ahead and show property in the way that you should show property. And you can get a lot more experience that way. So I hope that you guys really took a ton away from this. I hope you guys took some notes. I will be publishing more information about this because it's a very, very, very common question that I get. If you aren't following me on TikTok, make sure to follow me on TikTok at ShaunaLay808, because on there I do also give very short tidbits about tips and overall information about New York City real estate that is going to help you as an agent. And I do put out market reports about the luxury market just to give you guys a little bit more information. But I hope you guys found this helpful. And until next time, thank you guys so much for listening. Mahalo.